Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle
on Radio City Talk.
Welcome to Mental Health Extra. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Now, Jake Mills normally joins us for Mental Health Extra. He's been a very busy boy this week. In fact, he's got important meetings in London. Hopefully, he'll be telling us about it as part of next week's show. In the meantime, though, a couple of conversations I've been having off the back of World Mental Health Day. The first with an author of a new book, which could change your life in 60 seconds. All the details on the way. After that, mind ambassador and expert in many different things, Anna Williamson will join us on the programme. She's looking at the results of a new survey in regard to loneliness and the sort of modern ramifications of loneliness that go way beyond being isolated and on your own. It can very much take many different forms, and we'll take a look at that conversation with Anna Williamson. As ever, if you want to get involved in the show, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us your emails, mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's mick@radiocity.co.uk. Those emails come straight through to me. If there's a particular story you'd like to tell us about, or a comment about one of the issues that we've touched on, we would love to hear from you. You can get involved in the show too, mick@radiocity.co.uk. I'm also open about on Twitter. And don't forget, if you want to find mental health services close to where you live, you can check out the Hub of Hope, hubofhope.co.uk. That's hubofhope.co.uk. You can type in your postcode there, or just use the location device on your phone or tablet.
Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, so it's Radio City Talk. My name's Mick Coyle. I'm very pleased to say we've got a guest in the studio who is the author of a new book. I've got a copy of the book in front of me, and it says, Me in a Minute, 60 Ways to Improve Your Life in 60 Seconds. Sid Madge is the author, and Sid is with us on the programme. Sid, it's great to see you. Thank you for your time. This is Me in a Minute, and it's M Triple E. Just tell us about that.
The first word is obviously M for my, and then the three E's are education, employment and enterprise.
60 ways to improve your life in 60 seconds. Is this a self-help book?
Yes, it is. Yeah, very much a self-help book.
But done in a way which suggests that there are little things that people can do, small changes to your life that can make you feel very different. Give us a sense of why you wanted to create this.
I've read a lot of self-help books and obviously, you know, received self-help myself. And all of the books that I've read are just a long read, so you have to get to the end to kind of get to the essence of what they're saying. And I just wanted something that people could kind of dip into and dip out of. So each chapter is a minute read. There's exercises in each chapter that you can do that just change your thinking. So you might be going through, I don't know, a fuzzy patch or whatever, pick the book up, turn to a chapter, and just see what it says and then carry out the exercise or just change your thinking.
You can go through the book sort of minute by minute if you like. I guess if you don't fancy one of them, you just skip to the next minute and see how that one takes you. I'll randomly pick out create an anti-bucket list with a quote here from Bryant McGill. You must clear out what you don't want to make room for what you do want to arrive. Give us an idea what that's all about.
Well, it's about, I mean, we all think here of the bucket list, don't we? The 10 things or the 20 things that you want to do. But sometimes you have to create a list of things that you don't want in your life. And it's writing them down and recognising that you don't want that. And then there's a case of, well, OK, so what do I do about that? How do I get rid of those things? Or how do I stop thinking about those negative things, really?
In terms of negativity, I mean, so much of what you write about in here is about seeing things from a different perspective. How easy, and in terms of the reaction to the book, how easy do you think people will take to that idea of, you know what, think about it in a different way and you might actually consider, you know, the way you go about your life in a different way?
I think all it takes sometimes is just a minute or just a change of thought, doesn't it? I mean, we had a situation last week where a friend of mine's daughter's 10-year-old son had come home from school. And he'd been given a letter and he'd been misbehaving, you know, over a process of days. And Charlotte had a copy of the book and she sat down with him and did one of the first exercises with kind of positive and negative words. Anyway, Alex wrote down the negative words that he's using at school and in his family life. And then they talked about them. Anyway, he asked to take the book to bed that night and he did. And the next day he asked if he could see some of the links to some of the films that we've got on there. And his mum said yes. And now he's changed at school. His behaviour to his mum has changed because he's beginning to understand who he is. And that's because of the strength of the book.
I guess one of the things that people will say when they talk about self-help is because people's lives are so frantic and hectic at the moment that it's almost difficult to find the time to try and do anything. I guess this is why, you know, 60 seconds, you could put this by a toilet if you wanted to. Yeah. You could put it on, put it in your handbag and take it on the bus if you wanted to. Keep it in your pocket for when you get a couple of minutes. The ability to make those changes and the time to make those changes, not always something that people have had before.
No, and it really is. It just takes a minute, doesn't it? You know, and we've had lots of people now read the book and review the book. We've had lots of people through the programmes that we run for the unemployed in prison, in schools, you know, in business. And it just does take something very small.
Halfway through the book, there is a section called Seen Any Gorillas Lately? Now, this is based around a scientific experiment that was carried out around a basketball game.
That's right.
Can you explain the theory and how maybe what we learned from this basketball game might change our lives?
Well, sometimes, I mean, there was a gorilla that walked onto a basketball court, and that the people who were studying the video were asked how many goals or how many shots were taken. And nobody saw, very few people saw the actual gorilla. And what the exercise is about is that sometimes we keep seeing the same thing because we programmed and conditioned ourselves too. And sometimes it just takes a minute to go, hang on a minute, what else is there in this shot or what else is there in my life that I should be focusing on, concentrating on?
Mm. Everybody knows somebody, don't they, who always sees, and it might be the people, you know, individuals listening to this, who always sees the negative in everything. Like if there's something great, there'll always be something that they see as a negative. Is that something, you know, people say, oh, they're just a bit miserable like that. But actually, is there something going on in their brain? Is there something that they can change that can actually prevent them from doing that? Instead of seeing that negative and thinking, oh, well, I would go and do that amazing thing, but it'll be hard to park, so I won't bother. Or, you know, I would go out for that meal, but, you know, I don't like Italian food, so I won't bother going seeing my friends. You know, is it as simple as just changing your attitude?
Yeah, I mean, it does come down to mindset. And there's a brilliant lady called Carol Dweck who wrote a book around mindset changing. And we do naturally get into a negative state of mind at times. And there was a recent survey done by, I think it was Harvard University, and it found that about 70% of people actually have negative thoughts a lot of the time. And I think we can all get into that pattern of behaviour, can't we? Those habits of bad behaviour. And yes, it does take work to overcome those negative thoughts, but you can do it. I mean, if you think of addicts that we've had through the programme and some of the prisoners who've been through the programme, you know, it just changes their thinking.
Tell me about the Superman pose. There's a phrase that people use called fake it till you make it. And this is the idea that people often don't feel confident in a situation or about to engage in. It might be a job interview or a social interaction where they're just not feeling particularly great about themselves. As part of this, you know, change your life in 60 seconds, you can, if you just pop to the bathroom, stand in front of a mirror and adopt what you would class as the Superman pose. Tell me what goes on inside your brain that changes then your attitude when you leave that bathroom.
There's a lovely TED talk by Amy Cuddy, which is mentioned in the book, and it's called Fake It Until You Become It. And one of the things that she says is that, you know, that what your kind of, I suppose, your pose, the way that you hold yourself does determine and can change your behaviours and your feelings. So one of the things she says is do a superwoman or a Superman pose. And it does have a kind of an uplifting effect on you. She also found in a study that people who have never been sighted, who have been blind throughout their lives, when they win, they naturally raise their arms. And again, that's because it opens the body, it helps you feel freer, and it helps you feel more positive. There's also another study done where they found that children, especially if they wear a superhero T-shirt underneath their clothing or Superman pants or woman pants or all the rest of it, their confidence increases by about 40%. Now, that's an amazing thing, that if you could just do a tiny little thing like a Superman pose or whatever, imagine what you could achieve for the rest of your life.
I think these are known as life hacks now. These used to be just like lifestyle tips. Now they're now known as life hacks. Just tell me about sort of, you mentioned that your sort of friend's experience of this, family experience of this one as well, but you've been in, there's an education program, there's a prison program related to this. Is that right?
Yeah, we did some work with HMP Berwyn in Wrexham, and we took 20 men, two lots of 10 cohorts of men. And one of the men that was in there, He was an IPP prisoner, or he is an IPP prisoner. He did the 5-day course that we ran. And at the end of it, he said to the governor, I've learnt more in 5 days than in 9 years in prison. He's now gone to open release in Leeds Prison. And I gave him in February a photocopy of the manuscript of the book. And I said to him, you know, use this. use the exercises every day. He's been free of drugs also for that long, and he's now on open release. So it does work.
Do people? I mean, that's not to say that, you know, you need to be of a previously criminal mindset to get into this as well. Do you find that different types of people, although they're coming at it from different angles, take their sort of similar themes away from that book?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I ran a workshop yesterday for 15 business leaders, you know, and they took, well, I think 8 or 9 of them bought a copy of the book. And one of them literally emailed me last night through LinkedIn and said, I've read the book. It's fantastic. I'm going to change the things I do. And he's, you know, a very senior figure in the business industry. So, yeah, you take different things out of it, really.
It's called Me in a Minute, Me, M-triple-E, 60 Ways to Improve Your Life in 60 Seconds. The author is Sid Madge. Am I right in saying that a pound from every copy goes to Mind?
Yes, it does.
The charity as well, which is brilliant news. And you can check out the book. Where can people get hold of a copy?
They can go onto Amazon or they can go onto mebooks.com.
Brilliant stuff.
And it's three E's.
People want to check that out as well. There's a website because there's a, kind of like an interactive element to it because there's videos and things like that as well, which people can find the links to contained within the book.
Yeah.
Which are done in those really short web links as well. You know, sometimes you've got to do www.http. No, there's none of that. They're all short links, so you can find all the information as well. Me in a Minute, 60 Ways to Improve Your Life in 60 Seconds. Sid Madge, the author, and our guest today on the programme. Sid, thank you for your time. Great to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Mental Health Monday.
On Radio City Talk.
With Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
It's Radio City Talk. It's Mental Health Monday. We've talked a lot on the programme about loneliness, and loneliness is an issue. It's something we're going to take a look at now, some of the details behind it, maybe things that you might want to spot in friends, maybe even in yourself. Anna Williamson is a TV presenter, mind coach, qualified childline counsellor, and a mind ambassador as well, joining us on Mental Health Monday. Anna, thank you for your time.
Oh, you're so welcome. Lovely to be here.
Loneliness is one of those, isn't it, where you can have loneliness because you're on your own, and you can have that sense of loneliness, even if you're in a crowded room of people.
Absolutely. And those are the two types of loneliness. There is being lonely, as in just feeling you haven't got anybody around you, and or loneliness, feeling lonely within yourself, as you say. Lots of people can be around you. And it is a huge problem. It is something that is increasingly coming to the forefront, and particularly today, because Sainsbury's have published their Living Well Index. And that is what they have discovered, that 1 in 10 people in the UK are experiencing loneliness. And that equates to 6 million people. And during, in this index, they're looking at lifestyle of households, well-being, basically, all across the UK. And that can include everything from relationships, how much sleep you're getting, physical relationships, social media impact, eating together, that kind of thing. And actually packaged up in all of this is loneliness. And I think it's something that we all need to be really, really mindful of, because I know it's something that I have experienced at certain points of my life. And obviously, as we know, 6 million people in the UK are also as well.
Yeah, you wonder about what like the factors are in regard to loneliness. What can cause somebody to feel lonely? Because if we have to think about, if you're not with people, you know, you can understand that. But if you've got that sense of isolation, maybe isolation is a key word in this one.
Huge.
You can be, you know, if you're behind with your bills, if you're struggling with cash, and you're in a group of friends who maybe aren't in a similar position, you feel isolated in your own circumstances, don't you?
Completely. It's a really important word to use. And it's also another important word is measuring yourself against other people. And when we see other people around us, and we have this perception, I think, a lot of the time, that everybody else is coping, everyone else has got their stuff together, everyone else knows what they're doing and they're sorted, and it's just me, and you know, I'm the one that's struggling with my bills, and or my job's not going very well, I'm not enjoying it, or I don't want to go out, or whatever it may be. But actually, the fact is that a lot of people, as we know now from this Living Well Index, is that a lot of people are experiencing loneliness. And I think, well, I know from that perception, particularly when we see people, how they portray themselves on social media. I mean, social media is fab. I love it. But it can also be a little bit of a curse as well, because so many of us see other people, friends, family, colleagues, and we think, oh my gosh, they look amazing, they're doing amazing things, and I'm not doing anything. And that can then lead to feelings of just feeling more and more isolated. So what we need to remember is that, you know what, you are not alone. And we all go through periods of our life where loneliness in particular can absolutely impact us. And it's about recognizing it and being brave enough to open up to somebody that you trust and that you know, hopefully, to tell them how you're feeling. But sometimes we don't have people around us. That's just a fact. Families are more fragmented nowadays. That sort of nuclear family where, you know, you've got your mum and your grandparents, you know, that perhaps previous generations enjoyed, that doesn't really exist as much in the UK anymore. And it always interests me because my husband's Italian and actually most of his family is still based over in Sicily. And when I look at how the family operates over there compared to over here, it's immeasurable. You go over there and it literally is that whole it takes a village to bring up a child kind of mentality. You know, every day you're eating together as a family. And I know that's obviously a cultural difference, but I think it's important to take a bit of knowledge from that. Mm. And actually, as we've found in this research from the Sainsbury's Living Well Index, is that Britain's most lonely actually eat alone most or all of the time. And that equates to 64% of people. And
I guess people would say, though, Anna, you know, if you are married, you're lucky enough to have that family environment, friends, parents who live nearby,
yeah,
then you're in a better place to maybe to deal with this. But how do you find companionship when you don't have those connections, where you've had to move to a different city, where work has meant that you've had to move somewhere else? Or even worse, if you actually managed to find yourself a relationship, but, you know, she's got to do the night shift, you're on the early morning, she's on the school run, you're already out the door before you've even seen the kids as well. That sense of companionship is hard to find.
Absolutely. And also add into that, The truth is that some people don't also get on with their families and choose to move away from their families as a choice because it doesn't work for them. However, it's creating that support network around you which works for you and that taps into your emotional well-being, your mental well-being. So if that is you and you are feeling a bit isolated, feeling a bit lonely, it's about looking into what can I do? What hobbies can I do? Okay, this is where we can use or what groups of people can I perhaps tap into? Now, Mind Charity is a great example of they have so many different facilities available for people that are particularly feeling lonely. And they have a really good website as well and a chat forum called Ellie Friends. And you can go on there and it's really well monitored by trained counsellors as well, just to sort of check in that everyone's okay and there's no inappropriate usage of it. But you can just have a chat. So this is where actually the Tinternet can be a really good thing because it can open up those conversations and those chats to people that otherwise would be absolutely isolated and not seeing anyone. The other thing we can do is look about locally what you've got going on around you. Lots of coffee mornings, doctor surgeries, churches, community centres, they often have posters up of coffee mornings or get-togethers. So for some of the key demographics that we have found that are affected by loneliness, such as young female parents, that was me, I was a lonely new mum, young single guys, people living alone and out of work individuals. Have a look around. These are people that have really come up as really sort of suffering with this loneliness. Have a look around and see what is on offer, and there will be stuff on offer, okay? What coffee mornings or activities, maybe an exercise class or a walking group or something that you enjoy doing, get yourself booked onto it. So many of these things are free as well. And if you say look at Mind website, that can signpost you to where you live into some of those community initiatives. So those are things you can do. It's about helping ourselves. And also, just to throw in there, as part of this Living Well Index, Sainsbury's are trialling talking tables at 20 of their Sainsbury's stores across the UK, which is fantastic because let's be honest, I mean, most of us have, you know, pop out and do our grocery shopping. Can be a bit boring, can't it? But I know if you're anything like me, I reward myself with a cup of tea and a cake, you know, at the end of it in the cafe. For a lot of people, it takes some real guts to just get out the house. But actually, these talking tables are community-based tables where you can go and sit at one and you can have a chat with people who are on it. And the great thing about this is that they're also extending it to colleagues, and colleagues can opt to host these tables as well. So it's just getting everyone talking. And actually, sometimes in my experience, you know, talking to friends is great, but actually sometimes it can be really nice talking to a complete stranger, someone that doesn't actually know you or your background, and it can just be really cathartic and actually just sort of not having any of that baggage to talk about sometimes that you don't want to kind of get into with someone you know well. You can just start afresh. So it's a really great initiative.
Anna, there's plenty to get our head around there. Thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you want to find out more about Anna, she's got a book out. We can check that out. Breaking Mad, currently available on Amazon. Anna Williamson, our guest today on Mental Health Monday.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
On Radio City Talk.